Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. HRN is food radio supported by you. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org.
This episode is brought to you by Wisconsin Cheese. We've been making cheese in Wisconsin since before we were even a state, which may be one reason why we win so many awards for it. It's what happens when a whole state dreams in cheese. Find your next favorite cheese at wisconsincheese.com.
Hey, 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 welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on Heritage Radio Network. We're recording today, it's January 31st. 2023 for Black History Month, February 2023. We've got some special guests. They're going to introduce themselves, and we're going to talk a lot about their brewery, Montclair Brewery. So, Denise and Leo, can you guys say hello and say a few things about yourselves?
Sure, yes. Hi. So thank you so much for having us. I'm Denise Ford Sourdogo, so co-owner of the Montclair Brewery. I handle all the general management, administrative tasks for the brewery, the marketing, and all of that other good stuff that helps keep the business running.
Great.
So looking forward to it.
My name is Leo. I'm not only the head brewer, I'm also a master distiller.
Oh, wow. That's great. Well, listen, you guys have been on my radar since last year. There's a beer legend, Manny Calderon, who some of the old timers know. He kind of developed as a rep and a distributor a lot of brands in the early days of craft beer. And a couple of years ago, he came back with his new niche brands distributor. And one of his goals was to bring Black-owned beers into the New York City market and beyond. So he really wanted me to meet you guys and have you on for the Black History Month episode. And I also want to give you a shout out. Last year at the Pig Island event that we're part of, Manny came with some of your Montclair IPA. Denise, do you know which IPA that was?
Yeah, that was our National Emergency. It's our New England style IPA. It's our top selling beer.
Well, that was great. It was just what we needed on that barbecue out in Snug Harbor. So let's talk about beer. I gotta talk to Leo first, because once he said master distiller, Leo, we're gonna go with old school. Your story, right. But you as a brewer and distiller, I want to know about you.
Yes, actually, that was not my first profession was radio and television. I did radio for about 25 years, and I moved on to start brewing. Learned to brew from my mom. As you may know, in Africa, beer is handled by women. And, you know, men are not so – you won't find many brewers, in Africa. The whole thing is handled by women. So when I become a home brewer, I also started learning how to distill, just in case you make anything bad. You can quickly remove the alcohol and move on. So that's my story. So, and also being a soccer coach, that led for me to want to create an atmosphere where mom and dad can sit down and have a beer. So that's why, I was able to talk my wife into this. And then here we are. We opened up the Montclair Brewery business startup in 2014. And then we was able to find the spot in 2018 and open up the brewery.
Wow, that's great. And Denise, it says that you're an MBA and a marketing guru. Is that you?
Yes, that's me. Yes, I say that. So before the Montclair Brewery. I actually was in corporate America, so for many years. So yes, I do have my MBA. I was in business development, marketing, mostly marketing, brand development, customer marketing, consumer marketing for a wide range of products. So with I worked at Castrol Motor Oil at a time, did a lot of sponsorships, website marketing, very early days of social media, because social media back then was nothing like it is now. So it was before Instagram and all of that. I worked on a lot of that.
So what did it used to be like?
Well, it was online communities. So we actually, at one of my former companies, we created like our own online community. It was like a loyalty club, but it was online where they can go. So it was like a website. So it's a website where members can go, they can chat, they can talk. We can publish like new product updates, product information. So it was really like an online community. So, but it was closed. So you had to join the community or be invited to join the community. So very different.
I noticed your Instagram is very active. I saw you did a countdown to New Year's. Do you have fun with your Instagram and marketing?
Yes, we try, even though it is a lot of work, a lot of work. But we do that. That's our goal. Our goal is to be active, to give people updates, to make it fun, make it engaging. To have it so when people take a look, they're like, oh, what's going on? Oh, I got to go check them out. So we try to have clear goals in mind for every post that we do.
Yeah.
Even the ones that are all about fun, we try to have some objective.
Before we talk more about beer, let's talk about Montclair, because when I look at your Instagram, I always see pictures of people in your tap room, bands, music, countdowns to New Year's Eve. What's it like being in Montclair, New Jersey? But I've been there. It's a really nice town. I know it's a college town. There's a train to New York City. What's it like having is a brewery and tap room? That's what you have?
Yeah, well, like we say it all the time. Montclair is, it's a family town. And, you come into Montclair, immediately you're going to start feeling good because you know, there's so much going on in Montclair. We got the film festival, we got the jazz festival, we got tons of restaurants. The only thing that was missing was a brewery, really. So when we opened up the brewery, we tried to make it a music venue so people can come here and entertain whoever come to have some beer. So that's what Montclair is all about. Yeah.
Yeah. And what's great is that we live here too. So we're a part, so we really feel part of the community. It's not like we're commuting in. We are definitely, we raised our child, our son in the community, went to the schools here, was involved in PTAs, as Leo mentioned earlier, soccer, and soccer coach. So yeah, Montclair is very family oriented, and it's a wonderful place to live. Great. And to hang out for those, because not everyone is fortunate or is lucky enough to live in Montclair. But it is a great place to come and hang out, even if you don't live here. Definitely come.
No, it's great. You're a special place, not too far from Newark, not too far from Manhattan. Definitely got to check it out, especially for all our New Jersey listeners. I want to talk more about beer with you guys because now, Leo, I'm really interested. Well, first, if Manny Calderon of Niche Brands singles you out as a beer that's worthy of him to bring into New York City, now I want to know about you. So you said Africa and women making beer.
Yeah.
What were your first beer inspirations? You can go way back. I don't know if you were a kid or an adult.
My first beer inspiration was, the sorghum beer, the red sorghum beer that my mom used to make, coming back from church on Christmas and smelling that was just incredible. Of course, at that time I couldn't drink beer, but the idea of, the smell of that red sorghum beer was like, drove me crazy for a while. And then until when I moved to the U.S., you know, the smell started to hunt me down, and I decided to do something about it. First, I had to go back home and ask for my mom permission to open up a brewery. And, of course, she was shocked, but later on, she gave her full benediction. She's like, okay, if you want to open a brewery for that reason, I mean, you have my blessing. And, you know, a couple of years ago, I went back with my beer for her to try, and she gave me a thumbs up. That alone, you know, drove me until today. When I think about that, that's where all my inspiration come from, for her saying, it's okay to search. It's okay to do something different. It's okay to be different. Those are the words that kind of follow me. Even when I decide to write a recipe, these are the kind of things that I think of. And then also New York City being the capital of the world, I can say that you can meet anybody in New York City. So that's why we're trying to diversify the taste of our beer so everybody can get a chance to taste either beer with ingredients from West Africa or from France or from Colombia. There's no limit to what we can bring to these things. So everywhere we go, every place we travel, we bring that little ingredient that's going to make something or somebody think about home. And that's New York City. New York City is pretty much diversified. That's what wow. We're all about.
Okay, so recipes, red sorghum beer. Is there a secret recipe, or can you tell me what's in
no,
it?
No, not at all. Well, in West Africa, everybody brew with red sorghum. So we started brewing with the baobab fruit. A baobab fruit is a tree of our ancestor. It is the only tree that grows dry fruit, and it takes 100 years to produce fruit. So we thought it might be very important to add that fruit into our beer just to remind everybody that human beings come from Africa. If we go based upon that, we're all going to agree. You know, we're not going to have a difference. It's so much difference because that's the reason why we're adding all these ingredients into our beer. So if you watch Master Distiller on Discovery Channel, I use that, the same baobab fruit, and become the first Master Distiller of New York, Connecticut, and New Jersey. So that happened last year in Tennessee. So we was able to win that title. So it is to tell you how impressive that fruit is.
Leo, I am so impressed with you. Do you have plans to have a distillery also?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's in the making. So ever since we went Master Distiller, people are calling me and asking me, where can we find this thing? But, you know, for now, it's in the beer. So the baobab fruit is in the beer. So pretty soon it will also be as a brandy for people to enjoy the fruits of our ancestor.
Wow. So, Denise, you're here as the marketing guru. You tell me about the Montclair beers and about your husband and your words, because you're going to say something totally different from him.
Yeah, well, we have a wide range of beers, and that's important for us because one of our missions for opening up the brewery was to be inclusive, was to let people, whether you know a lot about beers or whether you know very little bit about craft beer, so that everyone could feel welcome, that everyone could come and find something that they like. So we always say there's usually a Montclair Brewery beer for everyone. So whether you're a more traditional and you want a pilsner, you just want some people come, I just want a regular beer. We've got the pilsner. We've got our lager. Even though our pilsner does have a little rosemary in it, because we do have to put the Montclair twist on some of our things. But we do have beers for that. And then there may be some people that say, hey, no, the hop heads, that all about hops. We've got the IPAs. Originally, we had two main staple IPAs, our National Emergency, that you had the pleasure of tasting at that festival in New York. We also have our Poor Richard's IPA, which is named after the building. Before it was Montclair Brewery, it was a refinishing place called Poor Richard's. So to pay homage to that, we named one of our landmark IPAs, Poor Richard's IPA. So we have that. And then we added, because we realized how many hop heads there are out there, how many IPA lovers. I mean, we knew there was lots, but we decided to add a few more. So we have one, a red IPA called our Brewer's Bear. We also added two fruited IPAs that are part of our regular line now. The one is called the Maya, that was brewed on behalf of Maya Angelou. And that's made with mango. And then we also have a Java Guava, which is which actually first started as just a short-term beer, but everyone loved it that we had to keep bringing it back. And now it has its own can. So we did a can release of that actually for our fourth year anniversary several months ago in October. So that one's a Java Guava. Okay. It's an IPA with guava. So we have a wide range. I mean, and then we've got our stouts. We've got our porters. We've got beers that are fruity, especially for those that may want something a little sweeter or that say, hey, I don't really like beer. I love challenging those people that come in and say, well, I'm not a beer drinker, because usually we could always find something or more than just one thing that they end up liking. They're like, wow, this is not what I thought it was going to be like. I'm like, yes, your vision of beer may be from your early days, who knows, as a teenager or something, drinking those mass-produced beers, but not drinking beers that actually have some flavor to it.
And well, a lot Denise, of that's an important part of any tap room or beer bar, is really being able to talk to people and let them taste it in that environment. You know, not everyone knows what to expect either. Sometimes I walk into a brewery, I don't know what their beers are going to taste like. And honestly, unless somebody is really friendly and takes the time with me, I might not want to try as many beers as I would if I were more familiar with it.
Right. Yeah, we try to always encourage people to do flights, because we're like, you know what? That's the best way that you can really try a number of our beers, by having a flight. I mean, there are some people, they come, they spend their whole Saturday here, like having maybe five different flights so they can try all the different beers, because we do have a lengthy beer selection. It's over 20 different options. So it takes about five flights or something like that to actually taste all the beers that we have on tap.
And Leo, what are the New Jersey rules? So are you only able to serve beer that you make yourselves?
Yes, we can only serve what we produce. We're not allowed to have a guest beer like any other state, and we cannot sell food. The only food we can sell is a package food, like snack and so on and so forth. So the rules are really restricting us from from expanding our mind, and from also helping people stay sober. So, we hope that we get rid of those rules, so we can really, really, get on and do something better,
Would you like to have food if you could?
Absolutely. No, definitely. It's very important when you're drinking to have something, in your stomach, because if you don't, everybody know what the outcome of that. So, it's better to have food,
Yeah. On the flip side, I mean, we're fortunate that we are around restaurants in the area. So we've got a couple of pizza shops. We have like a taco truck that is usually down the block. So we do have some restaurants in the area. So lots of times our guests will go pick up food and bring it in here, or call it in for delivery or something like that. Because it is, as Leo mentioned, important. It's good to have something to eat while you're drinking.
Right.
But in case they can't do that, we do have prepackaged snacks that they can have, that they can purchase.
Now, there's a lot of talk about New Jersey and the licenses. And I heard Governor Phil Murphy a couple weeks ago on WBGO in Newark, which I love. He was talking about that there are talks about the liquor license reforms. You never know where those are going to go, but I know that it's nice to see great beer coming out of Jersey, and it's been the case for a long time. You know, one of my favorite craft breweries in New Jersey, going back a long time, is Ramstein Brewery, and they're somewhere in North Jersey. They specialize in wheat beers and pilsners. Do you know him, Leo?
Absolutely, we're all friends. The brewing community is very tight. Everybody know I call it the family reunion. Some of these festivals, we run into each other, and it's always fun, you know, to run into some of the guys. We see each other during the summer, you know, probably once every 3 months or 2 months because of festival. And it's always awesome to run into each other, exchange beer, and talk about brewing, you know, and talk about customer. Always fun.
So who are some of the other breweries that you see at the festivals and that you, you know?
Oh, so many breweries. Most of the New Jersey, brewers, we all run into each other either at the Brewers Conference or at some of the festival. There's a festival, a well-known festival in Morristown. We end up over there, and it's always fun. We walk to some of the booth and then, you know, try each other's beer. So always fun. You got Four City. You got also
Elementary.
There's so many breweries.
Bolero Snort. So, yep. Yeah.
Yeah, I know Blake from Elementary pretty well. I was at Flounder Brewing last fall.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Yeah, no, they're great. I mean, I've got a special place in my heart for Flounder Brewing because they really helped us out, actually, a few years ago when we needed help. We were out of cans. We got flooded, the demand. We had no idea. This was right after the George Floyd murder, basically. Yeah. And everyone wanted to come and support us. And we ran out of cans, and they were the ones. I like did a post in the New Jersey Brewers Association Facebook group page to see if anyone had any that they could spare. And they were the ones that said, "We've got some. If you want to come down, we'll lend you some until you get your shipment." So yeah, so I got a special place in my heart for them because that was really kind of them to do that, and that helped us hugely. Because if we didn't have that, that was the time of the COVID shutdown too. So I think were only able to do to go at that time. So there was no one in here. So basically, if we didn't get those cans, we probably would have had to close down for that weekend. We couldn't fill anyone's order. And like I said, we were flooded with orders because that was the weekend right after and everyone wanted to support like a Black-owned business.
And that's the Brewers community. You know, it's a really... incredible how people support each other. If I'm missing an ingredient, I can call anyone. And, you know, people with open arms, either they bring it here or they call me, say, "Hey, come and get it," you know. And that's what it is, you know. Yeah.
That's great. Wow, you brought up George Floyd and all that. I remember that month, June of 2020, that was like a transformative month. Yeah. It seemed like the whole world was upside down. And
yep.
Oh, yes.
People really thought about things in a different way. So,
yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, that was, really.
Since we are talking, this is one of our February Black History Month shows. Do you want to say anything about that? You know, you guys are, you're African, Caribbean. You've got a lot of culture and heritage. And you also mentioned George Floyd.
It was a horrible, of course, horrible thing that happened. I don't think I met anyone. Well, who knows? There are probably some crazy people online that may think it wasn't horrible. I don't know. But I think a majority of people would agree that was just devastating what happened. But it did shed the light because a lot of people were in the dark during that time, not realizing what some people go through on a regular, normal basis just because the color of their skin is different. Some people have no idea. Like if you live in one part of the world or you kind of live in your little bubble and maybe you're not exposed to that, you don't know, but with the George Floyd, it was just so apparent. I mean, you caught it all. It was all caught on video where people can't say, oh, well, he asked for it. He deserved it. He did this. He did that. No, you saw a helpless person right there just getting beat. I mean, getting strangled or whatever. It was just disgusting. It was horrible. Yeah. I mean, and unfortunately, we had something now a little similar that just happened last week with the Memphis, with Tyree, which is, I don't remember his last name. But that's the world we live in. And yeah, it's only thing we can do is be hopeful that things one day will change and that every day and every year things get better and better. And we try to do our part in whatever we could do to make it a more enjoyable place. Yeah, to live.
Well, that's why every February we choose, you know, someone to honor. And exactly like this February coming up, we have a special beer we're releasing for Black History Month. It's going to be, a person we're honoring in Montclair here. And then also remind people that beer is Black History. So these are the kind of things we're doing this upcoming. I don't know. You want to talk about the...
Right.
You should tell us, because it's when we listen to this show, it's February.
Okay.
So it's February already.
Right, definitely. So yeah, there is a national collaboration that was spearheaded by Oak Park Brewing Company. I think they're in Sacramento, California, called Beer is Black History. So we decided to join that initiative because for us, yes, that's so important. That's something we've been saying from day one, especially Leo being from Africa, being exposed to seeing people, women, his own mom brew beer. We know that, hey, yeah, beer is Black history. There are some people who were not familiar with that or didn't know that. They thought that maybe like Black people know something about beer. Like some people, they didn't know that. So this is about raising awareness that, yes, I mean, the earliest, one of the first beer recipes found was in Mesopotamia, which is closer to, which is in that whole region, that whole African region. So it is not as far-fetched as some people may think for Black people to be involved in beer or to even own breweries and to develop recipes for beers and all of that. It's a part of our culture. It's our right. It's our heritage. So we're just taking that back. We're not taking that. We're embracing it, put it that way. So that's one of our beers, yes.
We're gonna take a short break in a minute, but I just want to say that I can't wait to come over to Montclair Brewing and try your beer. It is Black History Month beer. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
This episode is brought to you by Wisconsin Cheese. There's a reason when you think of Wisconsin, you think cheese. Cheese is a huge part of Wisconsin's history and future. In Wisconsin, the state of cheese, the tradition of cheesemaking excellence began 180 years ago, before Wisconsin was recognized as a state. Immigrants traveled to settle in this lush green hills of Wisconsin, bringing their cheesemaking traditions with them. These storied skills combined with the freshest milk available created a cheesemaking culture that is uniquely Wisconsin. Wisconsin's 1,200 cheesemakers, many of whom are third and fourth generation, continue to pass on old world traditions while adopting modern innovations in cheese making craftsmanship. Find your next favorite cheese at wisconsincheese.com.
Hey, 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 welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on Heritage Radio Network. February is Black History Month, and check us out, heritageradionetwork.org. There's a lot going on and a lot of respect on Heritage Radio Network Montclairbrewing.org. So we're talking with Montclair Brewing, Denise and Leo, and we were just talking about their new The Beer is Black History Month theme beer. So what's the recipe, Leo? I can't wait to try it.
The recipe is Beer is Black History is a dark lager. Like, as you may know, lager is the most consumed beer around the planet. Everybody consumed lager. We made it darker, for that reason, because that's why we say beer is Black History. Growing up, there was tons of small brewery around us. We always see, older people sitting around and drinking beer, and then also watching our mom cook and make beer. There was a question all the time that I used to ask, why so many people come at home around Christmas or Easter? And my mom say, well, beer get people together, just like sports. So this is something that I wrestle to understand until I start brewing. When I start brewing, I understand that, people are curious enough, they come to try some beer, and that's what create community. Community is supposed to sit together and then drink together and sometimes eat together and talk about anything. So now I start to understand why these women make beer, because that spirit of community, getting everybody together. So around a glass of beer or a calabash of Dolo, that's how they call beer back where I'm from in West Africa. But every country in Africa have their own type of beer. Some people make banana beer. Some people make pineapple beer. It is so diverse you lose your mind if you go and try every ethnic group beer. From where I'm from, we are the Mose. The Mose people have their own kinds of beer. You got also another ethnic group that have their own version of beer. There's so many different type of beer. Actually, we're trying, Montclair Brewery are trying to go back to Africa and try to help these women build something better, and bring back also this community spirit into those kind of things. So we're working on that project.
Yep. Well, when you mention red sorghum beer, you know, I know dark lager has a dark black color. Red sorghum, the beer that your mother made, what did it look like? Was it cloudy? What color was it? And that smell, when you talked about the smell.
The smell is incredible. It is red and gluten-free. Red sorghum beer is gluten-free. We can't get red sorghum into the U.S. We only have white sorghum here. And we do brew a beer called the Motherland that we have here on tap. We have it. Our brewery. It is our version of honoring all these African women that work with fire. Over there, they only cook beer with wood and how you call that again? A clay pot. That's how they cook their beer. We have a chance of cooking beer on stainless steel. Over there, it's a clay pot that they use to cook their beer. It's the red sorghum beer is very rich and very red. It's just something you have to try. Maybe pretty soon we'll have that kind of beer here.
Yeah.
Well, what's the smell? I know the smell of brewing beer. I love all the smell of all freshly brewed beer.
Exactly. There's no difference. It's the smell of malted grain. Because over there, here we have a chance of calling the company and order some malted grain. Over there, women have to do everything on their own. That means they get the grain and they malt those grain. They put some water into the grain until the germination process starts, and then they dry it out. And that's when they got more sugar into the grain to be able to brew with it. So there's no difference. The only difference is, we have caramel malt here. We have dark malt that allowed us to make, stout, Over there, it's only one kind of beer they make, which is the red sorghum beer. It's just completely red and smell terrific. It's very difficult to describe a smell, but you have to really smell it. Even when I'm making the beer here and smelled, you know, sometime the cooking of the beer, it takes me back. Yeah, all the time.
Yeah, no, that's it. The smell takes you back. I think about that at the holidays all the time, right?
Absolutely.
One thing about with Manny Calderon and Niche Brands bringing you into New York City last year, first, that's an honor, and I love your beers. What am I trying to say? He wanted to prioritize having some Black-owned businesses, Black-owned breweries, getting placed in the top, you know, accounts that he services, as well as Whole Foods. Is that something that you guys talk about, or it's just something that is just happening naturally?
No, absolutely. We always have that in the back of our mind. When we got into Whole Foods, that was the kind of button that kind of pushed everything, you know, and Manny came into play and was very passionate about, you know, distributing a small brewery. I think, you know, I think we kind of met in the middle, and this is the kind of things we would love to do, being small, brewing something that everybody can enjoy. And when we met at that kind of level, we're like, you know, this is perfect. You know, we can bring some of the beer that we keep on creating into New York. Maybe, you know, somebody going to find himself into those beer. You know, like today I was talking to a Colombian lady, and I told her, I went to Colombia, I brought back some ingredient that I'm going to make beer. And she kind of got emotional. She's like, when you make that beer, please let me know so I can come and try that beer. You know, this is the kind of thing, this is the kind of emotion we love to bring to people. Like when somebody tried the Bao beer in New York City, and you know, you sip it again and sip it again and try to figure out, you know, where the baobab is, or try to figure out what is that taste that come in my mouth and I can't figure it out. You know, this is the kind of thing we love to bring to people. Or somebody that tries some of our Frog Hollow and realize that the orange is kind of, you know, dancing in his mouth. These are the kind of things we love to see. Especially when we go to a beer tasting and somebody tastes that and say, wow, you know, I'm trying to put my hand into the something that's going into my mouth and I can't figure out. And I end up telling him, well, this is what we did and this is what in the beer. That's what you're tasting. You know,
wow.
These are the kinds of things that make us happy.
Yeah, I was going to say, just also add on the whole Manny's impact and our expansion into Whole Foods. Because before Manny, so we are in Whole Foods in New Jersey. The only thing, based on the New Jersey laws that we mentioned before, only two Whole Foods in the entire state of New Jersey are permitted to sell alcohol, permitted to sell beer. So we are in those two Whole Foods. So we've been in it. But bringing on Manny, that helped us to now expand into New York. In New York, there's a lot more opportunity because the laws are a lot more friendly to breweries, to alcohol brands versus New Jersey. So, and I do have to also shout out Harlem Brewing Company and Celeste. She was the one that actually made the introduction to Manny. She's the one that, or I don't know, I think Manny heard about us and maybe he knew that we were connected. We had done a collaboration in the past with Holland Brewing Company and he was working with that brand. And she mentioned, hey, Manny wants to meet you guys. Manny wants to maybe work with you. So, and that's really how it started. And he's, as I mentioned early on, he's so passionate. You know, he's got a lot of experience in the business. He knows what he's doing. He has those connections. It's just whether we can keep up with him is the thing. But yeah, but it's good. But it's going well.
You're with good people. Good people.
Yes,
good
absolutely.
Beer. You guys are. I'm so happy to talk to you guys. But back to the beer, Leo.
Yes.
With these different fruits, it. Generally, what's a recipe or a way of brewing with the fruit? Because you're making beer, you've got malt and hops. At what point do you put the fruit in? Are you doing purees? Are you doing whole fruit?
Yes, most of our fruits are puree because it has to be in the state of liquid to be able to mix with beer. Let me go to most of the fruit we use. We use coconut. We use also peanut butter to make our stout. We use as well. There's an African fruit that we call the mad fruit that we sometimes use, which is very sour. And we use also, there's another fruit from Africa we call the four corner fruit. When it smells like cocoa, and when you put it into the beer, it's like a chocolate in that beer. Those are the kind of things we love to experiment with, you know, and give it to the customer. And people will try, and they try to figure out what kind of fruit it is. But sometimes I just have to reveal that to them, this is the kind of fruit that we use. And also there's a fruit called vetiver. It's in Africa, we put that in the water to soften the water and then also to treat your stomach with that. So I constantly tell my customer, if I wouldn't give you anything that it is not beneficial to you. Well, I wouldn't be trying to brew beer with that. So the only thing we cannot say it's a healthy beer, but this is where we get it. If you look out the property of the baobab, the vitamin is just going through the roof. It's a super fruit. Got over 100 times more vitamin than orange C, than orange, and also got more vitamin than kiwi. Gets tons of vitamin, you know, and that's why we decided to brew the beer with those kind of fruits.
You know, I know you can't say alcohol is healthy, but could you do a test and put on the label the vitamin content?
Well, that's, you know, I don't think that's allowed to do that. But, you know, when you realize how much, you know, stuff is in the baobab, I think you'd be happy alone drinking that, you know. But alcohol, we cannot say it's healthy or, you know. But, you know, we try to put those fruit just to take the edge off and let people have fun and realize that we're not brewing beer to harm anyone. But if something is not good for you, we will not put it in the beer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I'm learning so much about you guys, and I really can't wait to come out and visit you.
You have to come out.
We talk about distribution, but I noticed on your website you're talking about home delivery. Now, you're not talking about driving down the street to someone's home. So tell me about this home delivery, because it sounds like you guys have quite the grasp of the business side of this.
Yes, sure. And that's where that MBA comes into play. So that is actually, so our direct to consumer service, so home delivery, something we actually just launched days ago. It's pre-order now. It opens up for full ordering as of February 1st. Actually, it's open now. And we will be delivering beer to 47 states. So we've partnered with a company who will handle all the fulfillment for us. So it's a company based in New York. So they have our beer, and as orders, they're the ones that will be receiving the orders and shipping them out. So we're excited.
They deal with any permits or anything. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, so they have their license that allows them to ship to all the other states. It's a business. They do that already. It's some people may be familiar with it. It's Tap RM or Tap Room. So, yes, they offer that service to breweries that want to. Yeah. So it's something that I feel like it's a test for us right now to see how it goes. It is expensive to do, but we said, hey, let's try it. We have been getting requests from throughout the U.S., people in Florida, people in Georgia, people in Connecticut, etc., asking, hey, can I get your beers there? So this now allows them to purchase our beers online.
So since we have listeners from the whole Northeast and other parts of the country, tell me exactly how I can order, say, ship to other states like Massachusetts or another state like Chicago.
Okay, so there's a number of ways. So one, they can go to www.shopusa.montclairbrewery.com, and you'll go directly to the online store. Right now, there is a selection of four different beers that you can choose. So they just shop just like you do any other online shopping. Or you could go to our Instagram page, which is at Montclair Brew, which is a handle. And in our bio, there is a link to purchase out of state, so outside New York, New Jersey. So you can do that. So those are the two like real easy ways that you can go and order our beer. And please do. Like I said, it is a test. So based on the success, that will determine how long we'll keep that going.
That's amazing. And will the beer is Black History beer, will that be available in other states?
Right now, what we have, we do have our Black is Beautiful. That's there. That's available in all states. We have our Java Guava, which is a beer made with guava. One of our IPAs. It's a top seller. We have our Bauer beer. So Leo talked about brewing with the baobab fruit. So we have that beer there. And we have our National Emergency IPA. So the beers will be rotating. So we see we may have, if we don't have our beers Black History, there is another beer we are launching for Black History Month called the Howe House beer. So Howe, I mean, H-O-W-E, that beer most likely will be up on the site eventually. And I can tell you a little bit about that. That's also a new beer we're launching middle of February. And that one is in partnership with the Friends of the Howe House. So once again, really tying into the community, the Howe House is one of the oldest standing houses in Montclair. It was owned, the first African American to own a house. That was the house that was owned by the first African American homeowner. This person's name was James Howe. He was an enslaved person back in the 1700s when the owner of the house passed away. In his will, he gave this person his freedom, and he also left this house to this person, James Howe. Recently, the house was at risk of being sold to investors, and there was a group of people called the Friends of the Howe House that got together and purchased the house and saved the house. So we decided to do something about it. So a percentage of sales from this Howe House beer will be donated to Friends of the Howe House, so to help with the person, with the restoring of the house and the preserving the history, bringing the house back to the African American community and letting it be a landmark like it should be. This is the first house ever to be owned by African American in our town.
Wow. So, yes. Amazing story. And what will that beer be, Leo?
It is a Belgian style beer that we made. And, you know, it's easily drinkable, and that's the kind of beer we thought it might be suitable to honor the house.
And, you know, when you first started talking about the beers you grew up with in Africa, I'm glad you mentioned a Belgian beer, because I can picture you. Are you a fan of Belgian beers? I'm sure you are, right?
Yes, I brew a lot of Belgian style beer.
We actually won Belgian Beer Style of the Year from the New York International Beer Competition, I believe, in 2021, which was the last time we entered that competition, yep. Yes.
Well, that's great. And how does that style work? Are you selling that only on tap? Are you selling it on cans, you know.
And it's going to be on can as well. It's going to be on can.
Can, yeah. And tap.
And tap. And we have a lavender beer coming called Fragile Like a Bomb. It is made to honor Ruth Bader Ginsburg for all the work she have done in the U.S. and throughout the world. So it's a lavender beer. And that lavender beer also was a winner at the barbecue and
beer festival.
Beer festival, yeah. You know.
Well, that we brewed originally for Women's History Month.
Yes, for Women's History Month. So,
well, you know, we're just touching the surface with you guys. I really enjoyed talking to you. And again, big shout out to Manny Calderon, Niche Brands, for introducing us. And I'm looking forward to trying many more of your beers. Want to give another shout out. Last year, we've done shows over the years. We did the Black is Beautiful episode with the Weathered Souls in Texas. Last year, we talked to some of the guys involved with the Blacktoberfest, who really changed the way I saw things. The different cities that they were doing the festivals in, the Black brewer community that they were part of, those guys were happening. I don't know if you know the Blacktoberfest guys.
Yeah, so I think that's Mike Potter. So yes, we do know Mike Potter because he originally was a partner in the Fresh Fest, which is now Barrel and Flow Fest.
Yeah,
so Blacktoberfest, yes, I saw they did that in many different, I think three or four different locations. Yeah. No, it looks like it's wonderful. We can't wait for it to come closer to us.
North.
Or you know what? Yeah. Actually, now, back then, I think the days that he had it, I think it coincided maybe with our anniversary or something else that we had going on, which is why we couldn't attend.
We couldn't make it.
And also, I think the different states he was having it, we didn't have business in those states as well. So it was kind of like a business decision as well. But now that we are now in other, available in many other states, that may be something that we have to reconsider and see if that's possible for us to participate in that in the future.
Yeah, Mike is a good friend, yeah.
Mike's great. And just and Al Sharpton out of Atlanta, he's the one who introduced us. But I would say anyone, if you're interested in the Black History Month, go back to last year in 2022, the Blacktoberfest episode. Just there's four or five different brewers on from different parts of the South, including Mike Potter and then Al Sharpton. And I have to say that made me love beer. I love beer, but with the energy and enthusiasm of that group of people is right on. That's where beer is and needs to go. Just like you guys talking about the history and growing up. I mean, I'm Italian, so there's food smells. I have the same thing with food smells. When I remember something, I remember the food. Or now that we're on the radio, your voice sounds familiar to me, Denise. And you actually do sound like a really good friend of mine, which I love. So all these familiarities. So we're all friends now, but
yes,
we're going to go. Absolutely. Big shout out, thanks Denise and Leo from Montclair Brewery in Montclair, New Jersey. Very special people, and I highly recommend you go there in Montclair, New Jersey, and check it out. Big thanks to Armin Spengen, our engineer. I'm Jimmy Carboni. Shout out to Manny Calderon of Niche Brands, who first introduced me to them and is bringing their beer, Montclair Brewery, into New York City. So thanks so much. We're here on Heritage Radio Network. Big shout out and respect to Black History Month. We'll catch you next time on Beer Sessions Radio. All right. Thank you, guys. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Beer Sessions Radio is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network. Food radio supported by you. Keep in touch at heritageradionetwork.org/subscribe.
Hi, listeners. We want to tell you about a podcast we're really digging. It's called Christopher Kimball's Milk Street Radio. Every week, they travel the world to find the most fascinating stories about food, including children who harvest cod tongues after school in Norway and a detective who tracks down food thieves. And on Milk Street Radio, you can always find the unexpected. The comedian who ranks apples using an elaborate 100-point system, the secret history of grocery stores, and how to eat your way through Italy. They also interview the most beloved names in food like Jacques Pepin, Sola Aweli, Jose Andres, Jet Tila, Ina Garten, Nigella Lawson, and Padma Lakshmi. Plus, co-hosts Christopher Kimball and Sarah Moulton do live calls with listeners and answer their questions about ingredients, techniques, and culinary mysteries. Like, why roasting a leg of lamb made one caller's oven explode? Ever wonder why your bread won't rise or your souffle falls flat? Chris and Sarah have the answers. You'll also hear from a rotating cast of contributors, including Kenji Lopez-Alt, Cheryl Day, Dan Pashman from The Sporkful, and Alex Inouz, a French guy cooking from YouTube. Take a listen at 177milkstreet.com/radio or just search your podcast app for Milk Street Radio.